Live and local with Monica J. 99.1 is FM Talk.
I wish it was any day. Actually, it doesn't even have to be Sunday. Hey, it's the Monica J. Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. I'm so glad you're with me today. Do I sound a little bit better? Well, I feel fine. Oh, gosh. I hope you had a great weekend. Snow. We finally got some snow. Do you believe it? I actually had to open up the blinds on the windows so I could actually watch it snow. It's like, wow, this is such a rare occasion now in northern Nevada that I actually have to watch it come down. This is nice. 884-9910, if there's anything that you'd like to talk about today. 884-9910. Or Monica at 991fmtalk.com. I get so many wonderful emails, questions, things to talk about. And it really does make a difference, I think, for the show. You know, it's not always what's in the news that people want to talk about. And so I value your opinion very much, and I want to work around you, not what the news is covering. Because a lot of times we've seen that that's just fluff and full. But there is something that I want you to think about. From the beginning of 2020, from January 1st to this point, we're only two full months into it, January and February. Look at how many hit and runs we've had with pedestrians. Some of them fatal. Actually, a number of them fatal. The majority of them fatal. How many hit and runs have we had in vehicles? How many fatal accidents have we had so far? And accidents in general. I'm not pointing fingers or anything, but I want you to think about something. Because actually, I am going to ask one of my favorite reporters out there, Don Dykenukum. Adore him. To see if he can find the numbers and any correlations, because I'm alarmed and I want to make sure that all of the information that you are entitled to is coming to you. Because I look at how many years I've lived here. And I've never seen a year start off like this. I don't know. Maybe I'm just paying more attention. But I look at it, and I think to myself, You know, marijuana's legal here now. I want to make sure that driving under the influence is being tracked properly, so we know that if he's under the influences, if that is under the influence of marijuana, and possibly what our elected representatives have done to us. Just a thought for today. What are your thoughts for today? Oh, gosh, so many things that we can go over. A number of them national, but you know me. I like to start with home first. And we've got a lot of meetings coming up. We all seem to be concerned about the same things when it comes to the different areas that we live in, meaning the different counties. It's great. I have my petitions with me to recall Sisolak, and everywhere I go, I've already got three counties signing up. I've got people from Douglas, people from Churchill, and people from Washoe that I've been around. So this is awesome. But we are all concerned about the same things. We are concerned about growth. We are concerned about water. We are concerned about the increase in drug use. Never before have I seen so many needles just along our waterways and parks, around homeless camps, vagrant camps. And somebody did a great article that I'm going to tip you off to so you can go read it for yourself about the difference between the homeless and vagrancy. I have been criticized numerous times for my commitment to Paul White at Quality of Life Reno, because I give him a lot of airtime. And I tell my critics, well, you show me somebody else. You show me a city representative, a city council representative, county commissioner, do-gooder, nonprofit organization, who is down walking the river every day, going to the homeless encampments every day, going to the vagrant motorhome gathering places every day. You tell me who's making that kind of commitment and getting out and actually doing something, and then I'll give him just as much airtime. By the way, Paul White's going to join us at 11 o'clock today and give us an update on what happened a week ago Saturday, 2 weeks ago Saturday, on the vagrancy camp down along Record Street, and what's being done around the area. Because I just got an email just last week about a gentleman who said all of a sudden there was at least 10 campers that showed up and just started living. And then someone must have said something, because now there's only a couple. We know for a fact that people travel in packs. So we'll get a little bit more into that later on today. But the issues are important to all of us for a very good reason. And that is, this is our home. I don't stay just in Washoe County. I quite often frequent Churchill, Douglas, Story, Lyon. Yeah, I'll drive out to Yerington for something. You know, big festivals out there. Ever been to Night in the Country? When you talk about having staycations, you talk about visiting the areas where you live that you haven't been. And when you finally do, when you finally go to Genoa and you go into the saloon, the historic bar there, you sit down and you have a drink, start talking to people. They are your neighbors just as much as the person next door to your house. And we should all be concerned about each other. We should all be concerned about the increase in drug use, the lack of quality education in our schools. Because whether it's Story, Lyon, Churchill, Douglas, whatever, Washoe, it's all the same education coming from the state. It's all the same influences that are coming from California. And if you start looking into our education system, you will be very scared. Parents are finally waking up. And we're seeing it in the questions I get all the time. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? You have lots of options. And homeschooling is an option for you. You just have to be willing to make that sacrifice for your kids. Are you working? Can you work from home? Can you change your hours? Can your boss be more flexible? It's your child. It's your children. We are supposed to be able to lay down our lives for our kids. Since I don't have any, I'll help you find ways. But this is how we have gotten to where we are in this state in the country, is because the socialist left has gotten to the kids. Just look at the people who support Bernie Sanders. Look at the faces who stand behind him at the rallies, who don't actually look very excited. But every time they show one of his get-togethers, look at the faces on the people standing behind him. Don't look at Bernie Sanders. Don't listen to him. Look at the people standing around him. And that says everything. And you can say everything and anything, too, at 884-9910. We'll be back after this quick break on The Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
On an Android? Get the app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. The Monica Jay Show. So glad you're with me today. I'm sitting here sipping on my tea that a listener recommended. And let me tell you, I feel a whole lot better, and I think I sound better, too. But, yeah, that's just me. I've never liked the way I sounded anyway, so, you know, what a great profession to go into. Monica at 991fmtalk.com or, of course, 884-9910. We've got Maurice on the line. Maurice says he's got some numbers for us on the pedestrian hit and runs. Hi, Maurice.
How you doing, Monica?
I'm doing fantastic.
Hey, so you can find the numbers you're looking for, along with a bunch of other very interesting reports, on the Zero Fatalities page on the NDOT website. I'm looking at those numbers right now, and under the heading Causes of Pedestrian Crashes, 42% are improper crossing, 18% darting into the roadway, 10% not visible, and here's one you'll really like, 6% lying illegally in the roadway. You know, we hear a whole lot about drivers need to pay attention to what pedestrians are doing. We hear all the time that the law enforcement is going out and setting up these entrapment deals to get drivers. It's time to get pedestrians back on the sidewalks where they belong.
Exactly, Maurice. Thank you so much for saying that. I've said that before, and people just, no, it's people with their cell phones, and they're looking at their texts, and it's like, no, trust me. I have windows to the world, and I have watched people just walk out into traffic who are looking on their cell phones and pay no attention whatsoever. And even kids playing games.
Absolutely. And I tell you, one time here in Carson City, I took a notion to want to know what traffic was doing on Main Street. So I sat all day long on the fence line across from the Carson Nugget, and I saw two people, appeared to be a man and a wife, come out of Cactus Jack's in full stride, look to the south away from oncoming traffic, and walked right into the traffic lane. It's a good thing the drivers were paying attention, because I think it was four cars slammed on their brakes to keep from hitting the pedestrians and themselves. So this pedestrian issue is not drivers.
I've never believed it was drivers, but when I say people under the influence, I wonder how many people are under the influence that are walking out into traffic, too, because they don't know any better, or the mentally ill. I've seen that as well.
Well, we've had several of those up in Reno, up on I-80 by the Parr Boulevard detention center. They picked one lady out of the middle of the freeway like 3 days in a row. She's just sitting in the middle of the freeway up there. It's, you know, I get it. Everybody needs to pay attention to one another, because you just don't want to be involved in a situation where somebody gets hurt, whether it's your fault or the other person's fault. That's not a fun place to be. But I think law enforcement is putting out the wrong narrative and spending a lot of time and resources in the wrong place.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, the worst place that I see people just blatantly walking into traffic is down on Carson Street and on Stewart Street around the government buildings, especially during the legislature.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Maurice.
It's crazy.
It is. It is absolutely crazy. And Maurice, I couldn't thank you more for calling in. And I will. I'll go check Zero Fatalities, the NHP website, or the Nevada Department of Public Safety website. Clay. Clay's on the line at 884-9910. Socialism, the topic. Hey, Clay.
Hey, so just to back up what he was saying, we moved here from out of state, and it was amazing to me how bad that is. Like, we had learned to drive in a state where the people didn't just walk out in front of you. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I remember my first couple months here, I about hit two people because I just wasn't used to it, yeah. Right? But anyways, yeah, I wanted to, you know, you talked a little bit about socialism, and I've been beating my head against against a wall about how, and specifically this younger generation, and I hope you don't mind me taking a little bit of time, so if I ramble too much, just tell me to shut up. But, you know,
what I'm going to tell you to do then is, at a break, I've got about 2 minutes, I've got to take a Fox News break, so I'm going to have you hang on the line.
Perfect. Yeah.
So start.
You want me to?
Keep going.
Okay. So there's a bar with some friends, and there were some younger people at the bar sitting with us, and I just leaned over to my friend's dismay and said, hey, so who's a Bernie supporter? And, of course, one of them raised their hand, and then I leaned over to the next table, hey, who's a Bernie supporter? And I think we're making a big mistake. I consider myself an independent. I hate the Democratic Party. I'm not a big fan of the Republican Party either. I've never voted Democratic, or not Democratic, sorry, for the Democrat Party, but I would if the right candidate came up. Just doesn't seem like that will ever happen. But here's the mistake I think we're making as a society, and there's a reason why this younger generation, and by the way, there are older people that are buying into this garbage, and it is garbage. So I wanted to just
I account that to be the hippie generation from the 70s who have always wanted that.
Yeah. Well, and I think what I'm going to throw in there, and, you know, I don't mean to be offensive to people, but it is an ignorance thing. No doubt about it. The colleges are not teaching socialism. For example, I asked them, some people I was with that day, and I've talked to my wife and other people about this, like, where did socialism get its start at? Anybody know? I don't know if you know, but I'm going to tell you, if that's okay. And I didn't know this either, so I fall into that same thing. Well, socialism started here in the United States. Robert Owen started it here in the United States back in the 1800s, the mid-1800s, in a little town in Indiana, and then he started a paper. And if I'm wrong on any of this, people are welcome to call me on it, but I've been reading up on it for about 2 months. Well, yeah, about 2 months now. So, of course, Frederick Engel, who really is the one that started communism, and I could read off to you, and I'm not going to waste your time now, the definition of socialism and communism. I don't know that there's a difference between them. And my view is socialism is us giving up our rights. Communism is the government stepping in and then taking those rights by force. That's really the only difference that I see between. But that is where socialism, got its start right here in the United States. Now, Robert Owen started initially in Scotland but then he moved here to a little town called New Harmony, Indiana, in 1816. He has quite a few writings you can read, and of course the town itself fell apart, and his reasoning for it, and I'm going to quote him, was that he had poor human material for his experiment. Then of course he created his own religion, and it's funny when you read about his supposed religion, because he wasn't a religious person. He said he didn't believe in religion, didn't believe in God, but when you look at what's called the what was his religion called? Oh, sorry, the Halls of Science is what they had. But they still sung hymns. They still had someone get up and preach. It was just about equality and all the garbage we hear coming out of socialist mouths nowadays versus talking about, you know, Jesus Christ or Buddha, whoever it is you want to follow, right?
All right, Clay, well, hold that thought right there, and we'll get back, because that's a great point about especially religion and the family, because that, I think, is what we have completely lost here in America. Stick around. We'll be right back after this Fox News update on The Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Is FM Talk. There is
a house. Oh, there's a big house, and it's called socialism. It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. If you've got something you'd like to talk about today, please, 884-9910. And it's not just you asking a question or me asking a question and you giving your thought. You know, sometimes it's nice to actually have a conversation with people as well. So I held Clay on the line. We're talking about socialism. Clay, thanks for hanging through the Fox News update here. And we left it off kind of, you know, with religion and the gentleman that you were talking about. Recap that for just a moment, that he didn't believe in religion. And I'd like to remind people that this country was founded under God, but we do have religious freedoms as well. So Clay, thank you again for sticking with me. Let's continue this.
So one thing I would throw out there too with that is,
Did you move on to a speakerphone?
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
Nope, I'm there. I just had my head set up. So going kind of back to the religious part of it, and that is, you know, socialism, and what I would invite people that are Bernie supporters is there's two things I think you really need to read. The first one is what's called the Third Essay. It was Robert Owens. He wrote a whole series of essays, but the Third Essay really talks about when he made his move. And here's what I'll tell you about Robert Owen, too. Initially, what he was trying to do in Great Britain, and of course Scotland's part of Great Britain, hopefully everyone knows that, was actually a good thing. For example, the 8-hour workday, that's where it's attributed to, is Robert Owen. Back then, it was a 10-hour workday, and he changed it to where it was 8 hours of work, 8 hours of play, and 8 hours of sleep. That comes from Robert Owen, just so everyone knows. But the other thing is instead of, and this was in his utopian society he set up there in New Lanark, Scotland, and he was there for probably about 8 years, I believe. And he also did away with children, you know, working in the factories. He put them into education, what we would call an education camp. But it was looked at as a good thing. So he did do some good things. The issue is that at its core, and this is what I would invite all the Bernie supporters to look up, and hey, if you want to call into the show here, and I'll talk to you about this all day long, because the one thing I would throw out to you is my wife and I spent some time, and I get so tired of hearing that Denmark and Sweden are socialist countries. everyone needs to understand that both of the prime ministers is what I'll call them, because I'm not really sure what they actually their title is, but they've both come out and said that they are not, and they're not. I've spent time there. They are definitely not socialist countries. What they are
is
very similar.
They've come out and they've come out and said that this program that Bernie is pushing, they wouldn't go for that either.
Well, and then, of course, the other thing is they don't have $22 trillion in debt. They don't have 360 million people with open borders. And all you need to do, really, if you want to look how bad socialism would be for the country, and I would invite you to read Bernie's website, because most of these supporters have not. And I'm a math guy. Go in and figure out how that math is going to work when you have open borders and you allow. And this is what Bernie wants to do. It's right on his website. It's been there for 35 years. He wants to completely open the borders, do away with ICE, do away with the border control patrol. And when you do that and you allow a whole bunch of uneducated, unskilled labor into the country, which, by the way, is what's been going on for the last 50 to 60 years, what happens to all those low-skilled jobs that currently exist? Well, the first thing that happens is that minimum wage is going to be a joke, because if you drive to Elko, Nevada, you can see what happens when the minimum wage goes to $15, and that is that they automate everything, right?
Yeah.
At the McDonald's in Elko, you don't order from a person anymore. You do it on a machine. So much for the $15 an hour jobs, right? And that's what will happen. And that's what's going to happen.
And that's the thing that hasn't been said, Clay. Excuse me.
Oh, you're good.
Is that minimum wage is minimum wage. So even if the minimum wage now goes up to $15 an hour, everything is going to increase around it, because it is still minimum wage. And minimum wage is there not for a career. So we're killing ourselves by supporting $15 an hour.
And I'd invite those Bernie supporters or anybody to go and find me a socialist country that has a minimum wage. It doesn't exist, just so we know. It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
How funny is that, right? They're pushing for a minimum wage and socialism, and we would be the first country in the world. So there are some great things. And then the other thing that I would look at and that I would recommend reading, other than the third essay by Robert Owen, is go and read the Communist Manifesto. Talk about a bunch of babble. It's really short. It's about 35 pages. It took him a couple years to write it. And then, of course, Karl Marx, who, just so everyone knows, Friedrich Engels is who Karl Marx lived with for the majority of his life, because Karl Marx never really held a job. All he did was write a book.
And that's the way they want it. That Clay, right? Yeah. There is the difference. It's the academics. It's the thinkers against the workers, the doers, the people who actually make things and make things happen. Because it's the thinkers, it's those academics who try then to put in the place to take away from the working class to spread it to everybody else.
And along with that, I think, you know, the rest of us ought to actually really take a serious look at what's happening in education. And I don't mean just the liberal views that are being spewed. I mean the fact that when I went to school and got a degree, you could come out with $30,000 in debt. You can't do that anymore. It's $120,000 in debt. Why is that? Why is it when you go to UNR, and I went to Utah State, why is there four new buildings being built every year? Why? Where are they getting the money from?
Well, I mean, they're getting their money from the alumni, the higher-ups, and from the states.
Yep.
And then they make the kids pay the higher tuition that goes into the, you know, the salaries for the professors and their retirements. I mean, really, I wish these kids who want the free education would just stop and take a look at what they're actually paying for.
Well, and here's one last interesting thing I'll kind of throw out. So I'm a business owner now. For the first time, I'm 48, just turned 48 yesterday, actually. And for the first time in my married life, that's not what my kids say. But for the first time in my married life, my wife and I are going to buy a brand new car. We've always bought used. When I was in high school, 2 days before Christmas, my parents had gotten divorced. The old man went to jail. 2 days before Christmas, we about got kicked out of our house if my grandpa hadn't stepped in. So for those that say, well, I'm just a rich guy that, you know, loves capitalism, no, I've been on both sides of it. I had to fight and scratch to get where I am now, and I do very well now. But here's what I would plead with some of the people looking at the Bernie system. My wife and I spent some time in Russia a couple years ago, and on our visit to Russia, the lady that was our tour guide, we got to do a private tour guide, it's a long story, but I just started asking her some political questions. And it was interesting hearing her answers. First, she thought Gorbachev was a criminal, and most Russians do, which is really interesting because Gorbachev is what changed Russia. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing she said is that they really liked their lives under communism. And let's not conflate communism and socialism. It's the same thing, right? There's no difference. You know, the only difference between a dictator and socialism is a dictator hasn't taken over yet, right?
Mm-hmm.
So look no further than South Korea or Venezuela or Cuba, or the list goes on and on. However, Denmark and Sweden do not fall under that. They're very similar systems to ours. They just have a VAT tax and they have a higher tax rate than we do here in the States. But it was interesting hearing her view and saying, you know, I would love to go back to that. At the end of it, her final comment was, you know, capitalism, we have to fight for everything. And that is true. You definitely do. Who in their right mind, if I told you, look, you could stay at home and make the same pay as you would working for me, who wouldn't stay at home and work and get paid the same, right? All of us would do that. I think what we have to understand is that there are strings attached to that. And the very, very first one is, according to our Constitution, we were given the right to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, right? Mm-hmm. Socialism doesn't allow for that because it's a social construct where the individual no longer matters. So Bernie may sound great. He may be tearing on his own people, which are the billionaires and millionaires, because, of course, Bernie is a millionaire and owns three separate houses. But, boy, I would just invite the younger generation and whoever it is that's following Bernie, look, I understand your plea. I understand it because there are definitely things wrong with our country, right? The first one, mm-hmm. Monica, you and I just talked about, and that is that kids can't go to school anymore and afford to get it. And even if they get that degree, right, when are they going to pay that student loan off? When they're 60?
Yeah.
So my invitation would be go and read that stuff. Do your research. Find out who Robert Owen was. Find out what happened to the city that he set up in Indiana, what he wrote about it, what his son wrote about it. It's really interesting, and that's where we would be headed. So I'll leave you with that, Monica. I appreciate your time, and you do a great job.
Thank you, Clay. And I want to remind people there, too, that as you hear Clay talk about, and it's the same with me, we've been on both sides of the track. You know, I was raised by a divorced mother, you know, on her own. I couldn't just go out and get anything. There are days that I came home and wanted a snack and there was nothing in the house. There are days that, you know, we still struggle now. But the point is, we didn't fall to the government to help us. We picked ourselves up. And that's what people have to learn to do. And boy, Clay, if I was going to give you one word of advice, because my husband takes great care of me, and I was always allowed to get new leased vehicles. Don't buy new. Buy certified pre-owned. Certified pre-owned. You lose so much money just driving that car off the lot. It is not worth it. Just my thought. And if you do buy a new car, make sure you check the sales tax. Hey, I love Washoe County. I live in it. But if you're going to raise the sales tax, you got to take the good with the bad. And that means people are going to do their shopping and they're going to spend their money wisely. So that's just a short drive to Carson. All right. We'll be back after this, after I've upset most of the business owners, right on the Monica Jay Show, right after this on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
On an iPhone, get our app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
Oh, yeah. 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. It's live and local FM Talk for all of Northern Nevada. And I am so happy. I am so happy to say this out loud. Well, I've been waiting to say it, actually, but we got started on so many great conversations with Maurice and Clay. Tom Steyer, out of the race. Tom has decided to spend his millions and millions of dollars elsewhere. I wonder if he'll put it into the community at all. Pete Buttigieg, he's out of the historic race because he is the first gay man. I don't care if you're gay, straight, black, white, pink, purple, man, woman, poor, rich. It is the person who is qualified to do it. The person is who makes the difference. But guess what? Three's a charm. Remember, it all happens in threes. Say goodbye to Amy Klobuchar. Amy Klobuchar just announced she's out. She's ending her campaign, and she's putting her support and endorsing Biden. Didn't I tell you? It's going to be Bernie and Biden. Bernie will probably, if he goes, he'll take Elizabeth Warren with him. If Biden's it, you know the she-devil himself is probably going to be the running mate. And you know it's going to be a contested convention, and they're going to pick Biden. All right. It's just sickening to watch this. Let's go back to the phone lines at 884-9910. And check in with Tatiana this morning. What a beautiful name. Tatiana wants to continue our talk on socialism. Hi, Tatiana.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say my great-grandparents ran from communists from Russia down to China, you know, and then my parents and grandparents had to run from China to America. Thank God they got here. And, you know, my dad came here when he was 13, never knew a word of English, never graduated from high school because he went to fight in World War II in Merchant Marines, and then also fought in Korea, and was able to really succeed in this country because this country is not socialist, you know, and it's a republic and it's free. And what these people are thinking is beyond me. I mean, I heard all the horror stories, and it's I can't believe it's in this country now, you know? It's scary. So it's the wrong road, and I think it's all from lack of education for the kids, and they've taken over the education, and they're teaching the kids the wrong thing, and it's sad. I hate to see what I'm seeing, and, you know, my dad has since passed on, thank God, not to see this, you know? So,
Tatiana, I'm so glad that you called and you said that, because people have to understand that it really is the lack of education. These kids are vulnerable, and they're believing the hype and the excitement around these candidates, and they're falling into that trap of believing that they're suppressed and that the government, you know, can take care of everything. And that is the farthest thing from reality.
Well, yeah, and the government will take care of everything and keep you in poverty. You know, without the government is when you could excel and be somebody and get somewhere in life. And I know I've met people from the Soviet Union, and when it turned back, supposedly, and, you know, they're aggrieved because, hey, they just sit there, they get free rent, free food and everything, but they never get any place in life. There they sit, you know? I mean, they can't go buy that new car or the jet ski to go boating. They can't go on vacations with their families. All that's gone, you know? Yeah. And I don't understand why they can't see this.
Because they're believing the educators and the people that they're supposed to trust, and that parents put their trust in to educate their children, and they don't pay attention anymore. It's just a big babysitting scam, you know, that the socialists have taken over, and now they know that they have their minds. They have those little bodies, and when they have those, they have the numbers. That's why the Democrats are fighting so hard to get the voting age lowered to 16 from 18. You know, the voting age used to be 21 here, and I'm sorry, but I'd rather see it go back to 21.
Yes, yes. And, you know, the only other thing I could say is I do think the government taxes us way too much, and which makes people rebel. The school. I mean, if they quit sending all this money overseas, they probably could give people free schooling and things like that. But it's that, I think, situation that makes the kids go, God, why do I have to pay $120,000 for college and everything? I get that, but I really do think it's from extra taxation. You know, my friend just moved up, in a job and everything. She goes, my God, I might as well not have done it because all the extra money I make, I have to pay in taxes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's horrible. And only we can do something about it. Only we can vote in more Republicans.